Scientists are not allowed to even think thoughts that involve an intelligent creator.
Religion, I mean, it's just fantasy, basically.
Just stand up and question Darwinism. You'll find out how risky that is.
The movie deals with a raging controversy in classrooms across America. Today, we'll examine it.
Must be some movie.
This is Reasonable Faith, Conversations with Dr. William Lane Craig. I'm Kevin Harris, and whether you're listening on radio or podcast, we'd like to welcome you to Reasonable Faith. We think you'll find the topics we discuss on this show to be fascinating and enriching wherever you are on your personal journey. William Lane Craig is a noted philosopher, scholar, theologian, and speaker, and on Reasonable Faith, he addresses the big questions of life. And while you're listening, let me remind you of the terrific resources available at reasonablefaith.org. There you'll find Dr. Craig's articles and books, audio and video of Dr. Craig's debates and speeches at universities all over the world, and a section featuring answers to the questions that you send to us. You'll also find past podcasts, a discussion forum, and audio from Dr. Craig's Defenders class. All this and more at reasonablefaith.org. Check it out today. Now, get your popcorn ready. There's a new movie out called Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed. It's a documentary on the growing discrimination against professors on campuses all over the country who openly question Darwinism or Darwinian evolutionary theory. And Dr. Craig, this is a mainstream release. It's not a movie that's limited to art houses or churches or obscure theaters.
I really enjoyed the film, and I think you're right, Kevin. It's remarkable to think that this film is showing in theaters across the country where general movie-going audiences can see it. I think the central theme of the film is not so much Darwinism versus intelligent design as it is the sort of academic discrimination that is going on at American universities and other research institutions against people who hold views that are sympathetic to intelligent design. So whether intelligent design is true or false is in one sense beside the point. The point rather is academic freedom and whether or not this is being sacrificed in this country.
Ah, so it looks at another aspect, and that is academia.
Right, that's the primary emphasis. Now, of course, the other is also there as well because the people that they interview are, for the most part, proponents of intelligent design, although they interview the other side as well. And so there is a good deal of discussion about the merits of intelligent design versus Darwinian evolutionary theory. But the main focus, I think, and it's important not to miss this, lest we be misled, the main point is that academic freedom is being abridged in the United States and that many people are being intellectually discriminated against because of their views.
The university prides itself often in being a place of academic freedom, free to flow of ideas, and so on.
Oh, precisely.
So it's interesting if we actually discover that this is not the case, that there's some hypocrisy going on here. What about it? Is there widespread persecution against those who would hold to theism or intelligent design?
It's really hard to say whether it's widespread or not. I mean, that's a relative term. There are certainly many, many cases that are illustrated in the film, and there have been other cases in the news that have occurred since the film that weren't included. Part of the reason it might not be more widespread is because of the intimidation factor, namely those who haven't got tenure or who could be injured if they were to speak out boldly are prevented from doing so precisely because they know that it could be threatening to their jobs or their positions. So I'm not sure how widespread it is, but it certainly seems to be very consistent that if someone raises his head, so to speak, he'll be shot at.
Now, for the layman who maybe is not involved in the university, what is tenure and being denied tenure?
Typically, at a university, a person who teaches there for 7 years can be dismissed for any reason during that period. But after that period of time, he comes up for review by the Faculty Senate or some other body of authority, which will weigh his credentials as a scholar. And typically, your publication record will be very important here. Have you been publishing in peer-reviewed journals that are read by other professional experts in your area. And it will be on that basis that this body will decide, yes, this person merits being at this university on a more secure basis, so that after you have tenure, you're guaranteed, so to speak, a contract. You cannot just be dismissed. You have more job security. And so schools will weed out, so to speak, the undesirables before they get tenure, because after that it would be much too difficult. Probably that's one reason Michael Behe is able to continue teaching at Lehigh University, is because as a tenured professor there, they can't just let him go. But contrast the case of someone like Guillermo Gonzalez at Iowa State University, who has a prestigious record of publications in his area of astronomy and geophysics.
In peer review.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's very strong. And yet was the victim of this vendetta that was spearheaded by the religious studies professor Hector Avalos and then other members of Gonzalez's own department at Iowa State to deny him tenure so that he could not teach there on a permanent basis. And if I may say, what's remarkable about the Gonzalez case that doesn't come out in the film at all, they don't go into details, is that Gonzalez, in this book he published called The Privileged Planet, said nothing against neo-Darwinian biological evolutionary theory. There was nothing in his work that challenged in any way the truth of neo-Darwinian evolutionary biology. It was all about astronomy. It was about our place in the galaxy and our galaxy's place in the cosmos and how this was optimal for life and for observing the universe and so forth. But everything he said was perfectly consistent with believing in neo-Darwinian biological evolutionary theory. So it's just remarkable that someone who wrote a book like this could be torpedoed because of that.
It's almost as if they said, okay, you didn't really attack neo-Darwinian evolution, but we see where you're going. Because ID of any kind, intelligent design, tends to be a threat to Darwinian orthodoxy.
I think it's a threat to naturalists. This is another point that I think I would want to make, is that I think that the real opposition here is not so much from the scientists as scientists. It's not evolutionary biology as such. It's the naturalism that so many of them presuppose that finds intelligent design anathema. And so there went on against Gonzalez a private email campaign among faculty members to torpedo his tenure application. And all of this was kept secret. And it was claimed in the tenure review that none of this played a role. And what has happened since then is all of this email correspondence has come out. And it's very vicious. It denounces intelligent design as a religious view and really amounts to religious discrimination against Gonzalez. They were rejecting his tenure because of his religious views. I talked to a lawyer in my defender's class about this, and she said, this man has grounds for a lawsuit against the university based on religious discrimination, because it was clear that that was the grounds on which they were denying him tenure, was his religious views, or what were perceived as religious views.
Dr. Craig, what's interesting is that this is not a Christian film produced by Christians. Now, it involves the Christian faith, and it involves Christians, but Ben Stein is not a believer, I don't think.
No, he says in the film that he's Jewish. Uh-huh. Now, I don't know about his religious beliefs or whether he's simply ethnically Jewish, but you're right that not everyone in the film by any means is Christian.
I think that's interesting, you know, because
that's worth noting, because it's not really a Christian issue per se. I do agree with the advocates of intelligent design that the question of intelligent design is really religiously neutral, in the sense that you don't have to be a religious person to be able to detect the products of intelligent design.
I want to go back to Iowa State University again, mm-hmm. because this will show just how political this can be, how emotional it can be, and perhaps religious discrimination elements come in and so forth. And that is, Hector Avalos is a very vocal atheist, opponent of the Christian faith, very active, it seems, in the atheist community. You've had a debate with him.
I did. I debated him several years ago at Iowa State on the resurrection of Jesus.
And when you got there, what did you find? Did you find that there was a lot of intimidation of Christian students there, and they were glad to see you come to town?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that was very clear. As head of the religious studies department there, he has it as his goal to disabuse Christian students in his classes of their Christian faith. And he portrays himself as an ex-evangelical and a former preacher. This is all a little bit really exaggerated, frankly, when you look into his personal biography. But that's the way he likes to cast himself, and has it as his goal to basically destroy the Orthodox faith of the Christian students in his classes through intimidation and ridicule and criticism. And the way he behaves in these debates also can be very unprofessional, appealing to ad hominem attacks upon
personal attacks
upon his debate opponent.
You did something, I can't help but talk about this, we'll get back to the film, but you did something in that debate that I don't think you've ever done before in a strategy. You kind of offered a disclaimer at the beginning of the debate that let's keep this debate on the up and up. And Hector, I got to call you on something. That is, you have a tendency to try to embarrass a colleague. And here's an example of it. And so, Hector, let's not have any of that.
Yes, I felt very uncomfortable about doing that because it was, in a sense, attacking him in the debate for his methods, for his modus operandi. But I felt that I had to do it since I was the first speaker, and I didn't want him to pull one of these tricks on me in his opening speech, the way I had seen him do with a Professor Shelley in a previous debate in a very unprofessional manner. And he's actually continued since then to attack me on a personal basis, Kevin, that, again, is just remarkable because it isn't the way colleagues normally behave in the academy. And what is forgotten in all of this, then, is the worth of the arguments themselves.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
arguments get left behind in the attacks upon the credibility of your opponent.
I bring all this up to say, lo and behold, this movie interviews Hector Avalos.
Yes, it does.
And Professor Gonzalez. And it didn't surprise me, in light of everything that you just said, that there was an instance of this kind of possible discrimination coming out of that university, and Hector Avalos seemed to be very outspoken about it.
Yes, that was the interesting thing about it in the film. Gonzalez's colleagues in the department, despite this secret email campaign, publicly said this is simply about his academic credentials, not intelligent design, when in fact, secretly, that was clearly the issue. But Avalos, I suppose not being part of that department, he was very overt that this was about intelligent design and said as much in the interview.
Why is intelligent design seen as a threat?
This is very interesting, Kevin, because near the very close of the film, Stein goes and interviews Richard Dawkins, and he said, couldn't it be the case that the universe is the product of intelligent design? And Dawkins says, well, yes, I suppose it could be, but in that case, the designers would be some sort of extraterrestrial life who came to this planet and seeded the Earth with organisms so that life would originate here on Earth. So yes, intelligent design is a possible theory, but it would have to be life that is purely naturalistic and was itself the product of evolutionary development. And Stein said, so intelligent design is really all right, just so long as it's naturalistic. And that is exactly the point, which is why I said earlier, it's not really the debate about the merits of intelligent design versus neo-Darwinian evolutionary theory. It's really a debate about naturalism versus non-natural causes in the universe. And I thought Dawkins admitted as much in his final response.
In fact, Dawkins says something very interesting in the film about holding to the doctrine of scientific naturalism, the doctrine of getting truth from science. Let's listen to that clip right now.
As a scientist, I am pretty hostile to a rival doctrine.
we shouldn't accept any other doctrine than that of the scientific method, or scientism, as it is often called. So he shows there that it is, in fact, a philosophical view that he's purporting.
Well, that's very true, Kevin. I think that's right. Notice that he himself is not consistent with this methodology, because using the scientific method, you could never make statements about ethics, for example, about what's right and wrong, good or bad. Moral values aren't found in a test tube. And yet in his book, The God Delusion, he makes one moral judgment after another, denouncing religious intolerance, denouncing religious education of children, homophobia, discrimination, and so forth. Richard Dawkins is an unremitting moralist, and yet it's incompatible with, as you say, his own scientism, which says that apart from science, there is no truth to be discovered.
So the movie Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, actually gives some case studies of some professors who are under fire for departing from what is considered the orthodoxy in biology and in science, and that is the Darwinian view. And so these are pretty convincing case studies, you think?
Yes, I think they are. These are pretty clear cases of, I think, discrimination. And if I might say, I thought one of the most poignant moments of the film is when Stein begins to explore the implications for ethics of naturalism. If naturalism is true, are there any objective moral values? And he goes to Germany and visits the site of some of the extermination camps of Jewish people. And he says, as a Jew, this was very interesting to me personally. And these scientists and nurses in these extermination camps believed that human beings were just natural, random products of biological evolution, were not designed by God or anything of that sort. And this resulted in horrible medical experiments on living people, in eugenics, where they thought they could build the master race by, in effect, breeding people. And at one of these institutes that he visited, it was where handicapped people were taken, where the doctors and nurses would examine these handicapped people and determine whether or not they were fit to keep alive and to therefore continue to help breed the human race. And those that were not deemed fit were taken downstairs into what looked like shower rooms, and they were gassed and exterminated. And then they were laid out on dissecting tables where they could be dissected by these doctors. And as Stein stood with the woman guide taking him through this place, looking at this dissecting table, he said, what's ironic is that these people lying here on the table were probably more sane than the doctors that were dissecting them. Mm. And he says to the guide at that point, do you think these people were insane? And she said, No, I don't think they were insane. And he said, well, why not? And she said, well, they had purposes. And Stein just looks at her and he said, they had purposes. And of course, you know, we know what those purposes were. And then he just follows this woman down this long corridor, silently, saying nothing, just looking at her. And you couldn't help but think of the Jews who followed these nurses down these corridors once to their death. And finally, he says to this woman, well, what would you say to these doctors and nurses if you could speak to them? And she's speechless. She says, well, I don't know. Who am I to say? Mm-hmm. And it just became evident that the naturalism and the relativism that results is horrific, because that's exactly what happened in Germany. People did not speak out. They let this mass genocide go on. Who am I to say? Who am I to judge? And that does seem to be, I think, the logical consequence of naturalism. So
now, that's been the biggest outcry against this film from naturalist, atheist, Darwinian, that it's not fair. You are comparing Darwinian evolution with Nazism, and somehow, but. Mm-hmm. Are you saying that is a possible outworking?
I don't think that it would be fair to compare Nazism to Darwinism, but I do think it is fair to compare it to naturalism. If God exists and Darwinian evolution is true, that somehow God use Darwinian evolution to bring about human beings, there would still be objective moral values rooted in the nature and the commands of God himself. So it's not evolution per se that undermines the objectivity of moral values and duties. It's naturalism. And it is the naturalism that underlay the worldview of the Nazi scientists and nurses that led to this sort of moral relativism that made the Holocaust possible.
The second big objection to this film, and there are websites devoted to debunking and refuting this movie, Expelled, is that this is just creationism in disguise. It's a Trojan horse.
Well, again, I think that the quotation from Richard Dawkins himself shows that that's not the case. Remember, Dawkins said, a hypothesis of intelligent design will be scientifically acceptable as long as it would be an intelligence that was itself the result of naturalistic evolution, which just pushes the question back another notch. But in terms of inferring that life on Earth is the product of intelligent design, he was quite willing to accommodate that sort of hypothesis as a scientific theory. What he couldn't accommodate is non-naturalism.
Bill, overall, you give it a thumbs up?
I found it to be moving. I found it to be informative. And I found it to be a real call for action, I think, about the kind of academic discrimination that's going on in this country. And I have noted since then, Kevin, that a number of states now have going through their legislatures bills guaranteeing the academic freedom of professors at state universities or colleges in those states. So this is having some sort of a political fallout as well now.
Thank you, Dr. Craig, for spending some time with us, and thank you, the listener, for being here today. This podcast is available at reasonablefaith.org, as well as a wealth of audio, video, and written materials from William Lane Craig. People all over the world have benefited from the insights of Dr. Craig, and we invite you to browse our resources at reasonablefaith.org. And when you give to Reasonable Faith or purchase our resources, you help us expand into more media and speaking events, taking Christ to a world of big questions. So be sure and visit us at reasonablefaith.org. I'm Kevin Harris. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time on Reasonable Faith with William Lane Craig.